Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, and we're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Now, last week on Hope for Today, we began studying from Daniel chapter 6. The title of our study was The Servant of the Living God. Chapter 6 records the familiar account of Daniel in the lion's den. We couldn't finish our teaching last week, so we're returning to that text again today. Now, once again, because this is a lengthy text, I will read only part of it. I will begin at verse 1 and read through verse 10. Now, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. This text explores several realities that are part of life for anyone who truly wants to be a servant of the living God. The first reality for a servant of the living God is exercise a disciplined life. Daniel lived a well-disciplined life. He's a model for all of us to follow in this regard. Note with me, first of all, that an excellent spirit was in him. And then the text says that Daniel practiced faultless service. That's another evidence of a disciplined life. These men were evidently jealous of Daniel's position, so they conspired to find a way to accuse him before the king. But they couldn't find an accusation that would stand up under investigation. Remember, Daniel is probably in the neighborhood of 75 to 80 years old, and they can't find anything questionable about his service to bring before the king? That is amazing. Daniel's character reminds me of Peter's admonition to us in 1 Peter chapter 3. Listen. "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Daniel exercised a disciplined life. He didn't just drift along waiting for things to happen. He looked for opportunities to be useful to God by serving others. He cultivated an excellent spirit, and he practiced a faultless service. His character and his discipline should challenge us today. The second reality is the servant of God will expect direct opposition. So these men were stymied, and they knew it. They said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." There was direct opposition against the law of God. Unbelievers hate God's law because it convicts them. Paul says in Romans 7, "I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good." So the king's officials came up with a plan. They came en masse, the whole group of them, before the king. The New King James Version says they thronged the king. In other words, they came hurrying before him in a large group. The original Aramaic word has caused a lot of discussion among the scholars, but most of them agree on this. It suggests conspiracy, agitation, and the intent to stir up trouble. Even today, the genuine servant of God should expect direct opposition to the law of God. Notice with me what these men said. "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions." They had to fudge the facts, didn't they? Not everybody was on board with their scheme. How often today is peer pressure used to try to get what we want? How often have you heard these words? "Well, everyone else is doing it." Guess what? Not everyone else is doing it. Even the prophet Elijah had to be reminded by God of this truth in 1 Kings chapter 19. The king's officials staged a hastily arranged grand visit to him to propose their scheme for catching Daniel. Imagine them rushing almost breathlessly before him to give a sense of urgency to their request. We know many of the Persian kings made claims of deity, or at least they claimed to be the chief representatives of the gods. Darius may have viewed this act by these officials as a sincere pledge of their loyalty, but it may also have appealed to his vanity and his pride. No wonder the scriptures contain so many warnings about the sin of pride. Of course, the edict or the decree was that no person could make a petition to any god or man for 30 days except to King Darius. If they disobeyed, they were to be thrown into the den of lions. And then these men reminded the king of the permanence of the law of the Medes and Persians. Not knowing their dishonesty or the trap that they'd set for Daniel, King Darius signed the decree. When Daniel knew the decree was signed, he went to his house. The Revised Standard Version gives us the sense that Daniel's windows were perpetually open toward Jerusalem, the city that still lay in ruins. Solomon was the one who had institutionalized praying toward Jerusalem. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 34 through 39. And that practice of praying toward Jerusalem continued until Jesus informed the Samaritan woman that it was ending. And you can read about that in John chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. You see, Daniel understood that discovery was inevitable, but he wasn't going to change his practice. Prayer occupied too important of a place in his life. He couldn't just lay it aside. And chapter 9 of Daniel informs us that he had a copy of the scroll of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 21:10 records these words, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word to you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Daniel had confidence in God's promises. This practice of prayer was at least part of the secret to Daniel's impeccable character. Despite the fact that he had a very busy schedule, he paused 3 times each day to pray for Jerusalem and his own needs. Praying 3 times daily is mentioned in Psalm 55 and verses 16 and 17. Daniel wasn't intentionally seeking martyrdom. He was simply continuing a long-established personal discipline. He wasn't going to change his practice to appease his enemies, and they knew that. In fact, they were confident he wouldn't change his practice, not even for the king's edict. So they gathered in a location where they could witness his disobedience. And sure enough, Daniel continued his regular schedule, and his accusers had what they needed. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Servant of the Living God. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Servant of the Living God. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Servant of the Living God. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Servant of the Living God. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.